I also like to drive to country, like Ryan. That's just good driving music. Nice, full on twang, and I will sing it with the twang. Foo Fighters is one of my favorites to drive to. Just a lot of energy there. So love the Foo. I thought about it more though back in high school, similar to Sam's. You know, 17, 18. I had a buddy of mine named Luke. We were best friends since probably like fourth grade, and we would drive around in his car. And he would do this thing where he's driving like this gold Camry, I think. But it was also back in the day. Before that, it was a blue Astro minivan, as I know many of you know about. But dude would ride with the seat way back like this. And we were bumping either old school hip hop, 504 Boys, if any of you know that name. I wouldn't recommend going to listen to it. And also, like, we were coming of age in the like the early 2000s pop punk era. So a ton of that type of music. So we would go, but this was the day before streaming, before Spotify. So I'd get into the front seat of his car, and I would grab his massive thing of CDs. You got to flip through and find the actual hard CD to get in the changer. And it was cool if you had more than a single disc changer in the car. But we would drive around, and we would bump that music in good old Watertown. Then when we moved to Madison, we'd do it then. But that's what we did. We had a good time doing that. And oftentimes when I would be driving with Luke, Luke was a funny guy, and he would have a lot of interesting things to say. And one of the things he said that's always stuck with me and is actually going to become our main point today was this. I don't know where he got it from, but he said this. He said, keep it real, keep it simple, keep it real simple. That was just this thing. I was like, where did... He's like, I don't know. But keep it real, keep it simple, keep it real simple. That is our main point today because we're looking at kind of two different things in Matthew as we come to the close of the Sermon on the Mount. We have, 3 weeks after this week left in the Sermon on the Mount, I believe, and that's it. And these two things that we're going to talk about today don't necessarily fit all nicely together, and you can't tie a bow on it, but one of them, Jesus talks about keeping it simple, and then the other one, Jesus keeps it very real. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to tie that together this way. We will be in Matthew chapter 7, just verses 12 to 14 today, three verses. We're going to read them, and then we're going to break it down and figure out how we're supposed to keep it simple and keep it real. So let's do that. Matthew 7, 12 through 14. It will be up here behind me, as always, in your Bibles on the table. If you're following along using a phone, tablet, or anything, I will be in the NIV translation, as always. So Matthew 7, 12 through 14. 12 says this, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." Verse 13, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." We're going to start with verse 12. This is our keep it simple portion. So what Jesus does and what he even says is he sums up the law and the prophets, which is our Old Testament. And he basically sums up his teaching in the Sermon on the Mount thus far. If we remember back from a lot of our previous sermons, Jesus would say things like, "You have heard, but I say to you." He is going back, what did they know from the Old Testament, and putting his teaching, which is what we are to follow, on it. So he's been reviewing it and giving his thoughts. Well, what he does here is he sums it up in this one verse. And he's not the only guy to ever do this. There was another famous, well-respected Jewish teacher named Rabbi Hillel that once had a Gentile, contemporary, I guess, come to him and say, "I want you to explain to me the Torah, the Old Testament, while I'm standing on one leg." That's what he said to him. And he asked a couple people to do this, and Rabbi Hillel was willing to do it. And he said this. He said, "Don't do to your neighbor what is hateful to you. This is the whole Torah. The rest is commentary." Very similar to what Jesus says. He simplifies it, breaks it down, and says, this is it. All right? And we know this now kind of as the golden rule. Do to others what you would have them do to you. There was a guy named Emperor Alexander Servius who had this written on gold in his wall. We don't even know if he was a Christian, but he liked this concept and this teaching. Do to others what you would have them do to you. What Jesus is doing is encouraging others to think about how they want to be treated and how they want to be treated by others, not how they would treat themselves. I think some of us can all mention maybe we're hard on ourselves or our own critics. I am incredibly critical of myself, but I don't always like it when other people are super critical of me. So Jesus is saying, think about how you want others to treat you and treat them that way, because Jesus is assuming that people want to be treated well. They want to be treated with love and with grace, with forgiveness and kindness and all those other good things. So if Jesus' followers want to be treated that way, they need to treat others in that same way. So he just simplified it for them. He made it easier. He made it more applicable. And it makes me wonder, did the people of Jesus' day have a similar struggle that we do of overcomplicating things, making things harder than they need to be? So I wonder that, because simplifying things can be really helpful. And we're going to do a little experiment to see how this works. All right, now we're going to do the call-out game. I would ask if you're willing, Sam, Lindsay, and Ryan to join me up front. All right. You all can stand behind one of these bottles of water and one of these nice green cups. Okay? Now, what I'm going to ask... Okay. What I'm going to do is I am going to tell you how full I would like you to fill that cup of water, and then you're all going to do it. Simple, right? Easy. Okay? I will tell you all each, and then say go, and you're all going at the same time. So, Sam, I would like you to fill it 1/4 full. Ryan, 52 130ths. Whoa. And Lindsay, 39 50 seconds. Go. Are we done? No, keep going. Okay. Now, okay, we're all going to judge. Who thinks Sam hit 1/4 full? Close, maybe? Oh, yeah. Think so? Who thinks Ryan got 52 130ths? Okay. Who thinks Lindsay got 39 50 seconds? Who here knows what 52 130ths is?
1/4?
Try again.
1/2?
No. Close. 52 130ths is 2/5. 2/5. So is that about 2/5? And Lindsay did 39 50 seconds, which is? Anybody? 3/4. 3/4. Good job, everybody.
Oh, gosh, you guys hit it right on.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good. Okay, you guys can sit down. You can take the water with if you would like. You all did fantastic. Now, if I were to ask all of you to do that, you can drink it all. Which one would have been the easiest to do? Sam's. Why?
Familiar?
Simple. It was a simplified fraction. It was simplified. I bet Lindsay would have had an easier time if I said 3/4. Ryan, if I had said 2/5. They weren't simplified. I used one of our math teachers. My plan was to use my wife, too, but she's teaching, to get two math teachers up here. I'll be honest, it was hard to figure this out. I had to, like, type it all in to get some really fun fractions for this. But the teachers, like Lindsay and Stacy, teach this kind of stuff so that we can use it. Lindsay, have you ever been asked by your students, Mrs. Salmon, when are we ever going to use this?
Always.
Always. You always get asked that. They teach you so that you can use it. Guess what? Jesus simplifies his teaching so that we can use it. He makes it easier to understand, because when we simplify the Sermon on the Mount to understand it like the Golden Rule, it's easier to use, and we can use that every day. Treat others how you want to be treated. We can use that every day. Now, I don't know if you go back and read all of 5 and 6 of Matthew, if you can be like, how am I going to use this? But when it's simplified like this, we can use it every day. Now, do to others what you would have them do to you. It's one of those things that I think is very easy to understand. We get that conceptually, but it's harder to do. All right, it takes work to be able to live out and to have it right. Even thinking about this basic stuff, I can tell my daughter Joella, who is 2.5, that 1 + 1 = 2, and she could probably just say it back to me. But when I get out her fruit snacks and I say, Joella, here's one, and I'm going to give you another one, now how many do we have? She wants to say 6, probably because she wants 6. She doesn't know that it's 2. It's harder to put into practice because she's learning it. Now, why is living out the Golden Rule so hard for us? Well, because we're humans and we struggle, we get upset, we get emotional, and sometimes we respond or treat people based on that. It's hard. So here's one way I think we can look at it. Rather than say, here's the situation, how should I treat this person? Flip it. How would I want them to treat me in this same situation if our roles are flipped? I don't want to be harshly criticized or made fun of or left alone or taken advantage of or anything. Now, I might be tough on myself again, but I don't want others to do that to me. So before you treat a neighbor a certain way, or a student, or a customer, or somebody else, become that. Become your neighbor, your student, your customer, and be like, how would I want them to treat me in this situation? Because that is what Jesus is teaching us to do. That's living how Jesus teaches. That's living for Jesus. And he simplifies that teaching because he wants us to use it. So keep it simple. I've been up here for weeks rattling the Sermon on the Mount. As we think about it, I could have come up here and just said this, and we could have done something else the last how many months? Because he simplifies it like this. Please don't negate everything I've said for the last 3 months. I mean, you can. But this is the simplified version of it. That's what Jesus does. So keep it simple. Jesus also wants us to keep it real. This is verses 13 and 14. Let's look at that again. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. This kind of kicks off the end of the Sermon on the Mount, which is, let's see, verses 13 through 29. Jesus gives what I would say are a bunch of cautions, and we're in kind of either ors. There's kind of this way or that way, and they're cautionary tales, and we're going to look at a number of those for the next few weeks as we close this out. And I think they're cautions, and he does it because these are very real situations. There is reality to what Jesus is teaching. And today, the caution is basically this. You either follow Jesus or you don't. And based on that, you're going somewhere, one of two places. And we're going to get to all that. And he does it today by talking about gates, roads, and destinations. And in both, there's two for each. There's only two choices that he gives us. So he starts with the gate. And he talks about a narrow gate and a wide gate. Let's talk about the narrow gate. The narrow gate is an invitation to start living for Jesus right now. To find that gate, to literally find Jesus, to start living that kingdom life right now. It's the narrow gate. He says it can be hard to find, but that's our narrow gate. Well, then there's the wide gate. Now, there's people that, as they comment on this passage, say the wide gate maybe doesn't really exist because either if you don't find Jesus, you don't really have to enter a gate. You're just there. You're just not following him. Either way, I think Jesus' point is about the narrow gate, that he is saying it's hard for people to find me and few will do it. As I was thinking about this passage, it's interesting to me that Jesus says it to his followers here because Jesus is literally there. I'm standing in front of you and I could say to you, few people will find me, but you're literally looking at me. He was literally there talking to his followers. His followers are going to go out and share their experience and share Jesus with others. They literally knew him, and he's still saying few will find me. That's the reality, is that few people are going to find him. You have to look for him. You have to seek him in the midst of everything else going on around you. But when we find him, when people find him, they enter into the life with him right now. And then once we find Jesus, we enter that gate, we get on the road of following Jesus. And again, two roads. We have a narrow gate and a wide gate. We have a narrow road and a wide road. The wide road, this is one Jesus would say many people find. It's an easy drive, even though it's crowded, you know, like a 50-lane highway, no traffic jams, straight shot, no turns, great weather, windows down, music up. Many people are on that, and it seems pretty good. Now, the point is this, that narrow road is harder. The wide road doesn't mean the people that don't follow Jesus don't ever have hard times in their life. But what Jesus is getting at is the opposite of that wide road is a narrow road that when we accept Jesus, we're on. This is the one that is windy and bends around. It's the one where the wind is blowing. If you've ever ridden high up in a car on a country road where the wind is blowing, you feel like you're going like this. It's never plowed, right? These are the roads, the back roads, that the country music Ryan and I listen to talk about. They love to talk about country roads. That's what this is. It's bumpy. It's not plowed. It's hard. And it sounds a little extreme in this contrast, but that's the point, is that it is hard to follow Jesus. Is it always super hard? No. But a lot of times it really is. And what Jesus is saying, guys, again, the reality is there are two roads, and that's it. There is not a middle, somewhat difficult but somewhat easy road. There's the wide road and the narrow road. We follow Jesus and live a life for him, or we don't. And it's hard because it involves giving things up in our lives when we follow Jesus. Control. Might give up on some of the dreams we thought we have because Jesus isn't calling us there. Maybe a way of life or something we used to do that in following Jesus we have to change. We also have to always be conscious that we don't sway off course, you know. We don't go hit the side of the road because the reality is it's hard and things are out there that will try to knock us off the road. And it happens. The reality is it's hard and it's narrow or it's wide. So we went through a gate. We drove on a road. We got to get somewhere, right? We have to get somewhere. And again, Jesus lays out two, an either or place to go. And he says there is destruction and there is life. And this means heaven or hell. All right, so eternal life and heaven would be life. Leading to destruction would be leading to hell. It is not always, this is one of those where it can be great to think about or really awful to think about sometimes. I like thinking about the fact that I have eternal life. Eternal community with God. I get to be with God for eternity. Okay, that's a good one. I like that. But what's hard to think about, and I don't like to think about, is that there are people and people that I know that are on the road to destruction, that will go to hell. That is reality that Jesus is bringing up. People I care about, people I've hung out with, by all means, good and decent people that are bound for eternal separation from God, that are on that road to destruction. These are people that don't accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior and live a life following him. That is not a fun thing to think about, but Jesus puts it right here and says, that's the case. That's the reality, and it's hard, but it's true. Jesus hammers it home again by saying, only a few find it. I think he says that because he's teaching about the gravity of this decision, how huge a decision it is to follow Jesus or not follow Jesus. He is very clear that many won't find him and will be on the wide road and are headed for destruction in the end. But he's also clear about what it means to accept him, that it can be hard to follow him, but that there is a great destination for us. And the whole reality, again, of this section is it's one of two ways. You either follow Jesus or you don't. You either find that gate or we don't. I was talking about my buddy Luke earlier when we were driving in the car. We took a road trip together, actually, in college. We went to Lansing, Michigan. We had a buddy, Brian, who was going to school at Michigan State. So we're going to drive over and go visit him. Now, we're old, so this is the days before Siri on your phone and the GPS with the nice road how to get there. So we have, like, this stack of printed out directions from MapQuest. All right, that's what we had, trying to follow this, trying to get where we're going. Now, we've never driven this before. We don't know really where we're going. So we're following it. Things are going well. I don't even remember exactly where we were. I think we were finally through Chicago, and then we're getting to the spot where we're like, okay, this seems like the exit we're supposed to take, but we're not sure. And we kind of lost our spot, probably because we were jamming out to the tunes or something like that. And we lost our spot, and we're like, do we take this exit or not? It was literally, that was the only two choices. We either stay on this highway that we were on, or we take this exit to go the other way. Now, granted, in this scenario, had we not taken it and it had been wrong, we could loop our way back and get there. But the point is we had two choices. We either had to take it or not take it. And we did, and luckily we got there. It was right. But we only had two choices, and that's what Jesus is getting at. The gate, just like the exit. You either take it or you don't. You either find it or you don't. And it has a very real consequence, a very real scenario about it. And it can sound heavy. It can sound uninviting when Jesus is saying, well, it's a hard gate to find, and it's a really narrow, difficult road to follow me. And like that sounds hard, but I want to encourage us with this, is that we don't travel that road alone. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I've talked about a couple times, he's a German theologian, has done a lot of writing on discipleship, and when he talks about the road following Jesus, he says this in his book, Discipleship. As long as I recognize this road as the one I am commanded to walk and try to walk it in fear of myself, basically on my own, it's truly impossible. But if I see Jesus Christ walking ahead of me step by step, if I look only at him and follow him step by step, then I'll be protected on this path. We're not alone on the path. We are literally with Jesus on the narrow road. We're following him. He's not absent. That's one of the great things about Jesus, is he's not just super distant and just kind of watching down on us, like, oh, you gonna make that turn or not? He is right there navigating turns and bumps and hills and the crappy weather with us. He is with us. And then remember where it leads. As Jesus says, it's a road to life, eternal community with God, getting to be with God forever, and that's amazing. And when we navigate that road well, or when we even just try to navigate it, maybe others see us on that road, because we can see the wide road and they can see us. So maybe we can model that, and that helps them maybe find the gate that is Jesus. So drive the road well. And keep it real that it can be difficult and that it's one of two choices, but it is such a great destination we have. Following Jesus can be hard. Not everyone will do it, but the destination is worth it. So let's remember that reality, that we're following him and where it takes us. So this week, think about the simplicity of verse 12. Start with the simple part. Treat others as you want them to treat you. How can you live that out? Do more than just understand this verse. Do more than just read the simplified fraction. Use it. Jesus teaches us this so that we can apply it and use it and live it. That's what he wants us to do. Then think about the reality of following Jesus and not following Jesus. And when it gets hard and the road seems like it's terrible, remember you are not alone. And I encourage you, reach out to Jesus when it seems hard, because he is there on the road with us. We have Jesus on the road with us. And remember, the destination is better than any destination vacation we could dream up or that the commercials want to sell us. The road to life is just so much better. So keep it real, keep it simple, keep it real simple. Let's work on living for Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you for these passages today, God. First off, for the simplicity of 12, that you break it down in that way, that it's so understandable, that we can wrap our heads around that, God. And I pray that we would all work on living it out, even when it's hard, to treat others the way we would want to be treated, to love our neighbors, to live out your commands, God, to show your love to others. And God, I pray that we would remember that we chose the gate that is you, and that we want to follow you, and that when it gets hard, we would be reminded that we have you with us. And God, we thank you that you're not distant, that you're not away from us when we're on that, and when it gets hard, that you're there leading us and guiding us and helping us keep going. We thank you for that, God. In your name, amen.